Enjoy.
The opinions of Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerate.
Is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or get us on The Blitz Facebook page, find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real. At Aaron is Blitz. At Degenerates 975. You can text the show. Know the number for that. Well, it's Tuesday, though, so I'm not paying a ton of attention to the text line. You can watch us on Twitch. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. And you can hear the conversations that go on during the break. Missed the first hour. Pretty sportsy, but you know, there's some sportsy stuff going on. There's a, you know, not quite Rockets obituary yet, but I think we could see it from here, so a lot of Rockets talk. Can we do a little college football?
Let's do it.
I have two things that I wanted to get to here. I have a Big 12 preview for the season.
Okay.
And I have the bowl projections just for the good bowls, right?
I'm hoping there's less bowl games than normal this year. What if they try to play the same amount of bowl games?
They're not going to. Here's what these guys are projecting. The Rose and Sugar for the semifinals, okay. The title game, and then the New Year's Six games.
So they're going to play a Rose Bowl without the Pac-12 or the Big Ten.
It wasn't going to matter. It was going to be a college football semifinal this year.
Anyway. Okay.
Yeah. That's.
Well, normally they still play a Rose Bowl game.
No, not when it's the semifinal.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So the projection for that, for your Rose Bowl, Alabama versus Oklahoma.
Okay.
You can probably guess the Sugar Bowl college football semifinal pairing.
Clemson.
And?
Who would be the other? I guess it could be a number of teams.
Well, but who would be an obvious, typical?
Georgia.
Georgia.
Yeah.
And then the title game, they project Alabama-Clemson. So not real creative here. But here's the games that I'm more interested in. The Cotton Bowl. Texas A&M versus Oklahoma State.
Oh, I thought they were going to say Texas A&M versus Texas. I was going to say that's no. So typical. That's what they try to do to get people hyped up, but that's not happening.
Your Peach Bowl. LSU versus Virginia Tech. Yeah.
Or I can't wait to see Virginia Tech play a football game.
Yeah. Orange Bowl, Florida versus Notre Dame.
Okay.
And your Fiesta? Your beloved Ooh. Texas Longhorns against Cincinnati.
Ugh. Ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So, man, there's a lot of love for Cincinnati in the AAC.
Why? Where's that coming from?
I ain't seeing it. I don't
Maybe because UH is expected to not be good. They're just like, well and Memphis lost people.
Memphis lost people, and UCF seems to be going the wrong direction. So, oh, yeah, let's pick Cincinnati. UH is going to be better than people think. UCF's going to be better than people think. Doesn't mean that they're, you know, going to roll through the conference, but, you know, not so sure. But, yeah, that's their bowl projection. They have your Aggies making the Cotton Bowl and your Longhorns making the Fiesta Bowl.
How exciting, Fred.
You seem excited.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's to me, those are the only bowl games they should play this year. You play the playoff and you play the New Year's games.
Seems right.
I mean, because
you don't need all those bowls.
No. So, now let's go to the Big 12, where we have your projected records. I want to see if you can guess the order and records that they're projecting in the Big 12.
Okay.
So you could probably guess 1 and 2.
One, Oklahoma. 2, Texas.
Okay, project the records now. Remember, 10 games.
10 games.
One non-conference.
Let's go. Do we know who their non-conference games are yet?
I don't think so. I mean,
I think Texas got North Texas. I'm not sure about Oklahoma.
Yeah, I think whoever they get, just count it as a win. Let's just do that.
I'll go 9-1.
8-2.
Ooh, okay. That seems...
It seems like, yeah. Well, I'll tell you why in a minute. Let's go through the rest of them.
But doesn't it seem like if that's the case, then we're talking about an 8-2 team making the 4-team playoff? Is this the same website?
No, it's not the same website.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Correction. Texas got UTEP to open the season, and then Oklahoma, I believe, gets Missouri State.
Yeah.
So they both got free squares.
Yes. Yeah.
So
we're not even counting. We're just counting really what they do in conference.
So if they've got Oklahoma 8-2, I'll go with Texas at 7-3.
And you would be correct.
Okay. All right. Look at me. I'm good at this.
Well, let's see who you have third.
Will they? I keep hearing John Granato and a lot of these teams talk about Oklahoma State. I'm not buying in, but I think that the majority of people think Oklahoma State 3.
And what would their record be?
6-4.
7-3, same as Texas.
Oh, okay.
I totally disagree with you on Oklahoma State. I think they have a chance to be really good. Chuba Hubbard's back. And I think if Spencer Sanders is the key, because he showed a lot of flashes as a freshman. And that's a guy who's the ability to run on top of the ability to pass. If he takes that step this year, I think they can compete for the whole thing. If not, yeah, they're probably
compete for the whole thing. Are you
the whole
about...
conference? Yes.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. The conference.
Yes, the whole conference. But I mean, they're going to have a big three on offense, that's as good as anybody's. But if he takes that next step, that's the key for him. All right, number four.
TCU.
They have the Horned Frogs fourth, and I'll just tell you the next three they all have with the same record, so
okay.
You don't have to guess 6-4.
Baylor.
Baylor is ninth at 4-6.
Oh, okay. Kansas State.
Kansas State 6-4.
Kansas is last.
Yeah, 2-8. I don't know where they're getting two wins from, but yeah.
So I just need the other two teams that have that same record.
Yeah,
Texas Tech and.
You need one more. You have TCU at 4, Kansas State at 6.
Oh.
So you just guessed Texas Tech?
Well, I thought I was just wrapping up. What are the what places are left?
5, 7, 8.
Okay, Texas Tech 8.
Okay.
Who am I leaving out? Why can't I? There's a team that I'm not picturing in my head.
Well, I'm just going to give them to you because you technically guessed Texas Tech, which is incorrect. Oklahoma 1, Texas 2, Oklahoma State 3. They have Texas and Oklahoma State at 7-3. I think Oklahoma's 9-1. If they're that good,
I think so, too.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they lose to Texas, but TCU 4th, 6-4. Iowa State 6-4. Kansas State 6th at 6-4, which I don't know how they're breaking that up, I guess, based on who beats
who. Head-to-head, yeah.
7th, West Virginia, 5-5. I don't know, man. I don't like that team. I think that thing's going the wrong direction. 8, Texas Tech, 4-6. 9, Baylor, 4-6. 10, Kansas, 2-8. I think they're maybe beating Baylor up a little too much because I think Aranda's a good coach. He just hasn't had as much time to work with his guys, so maybe. And I think West Virginia may be getting a little too much credit at 5-5. So...
I'll be honest. There's like four teams in that conference that I even care about. Like it just seems like such a, it's almost all these conferences except for the SEC. The ACC is the same way.
But realistically, with the SEC, maybe there's a little more than four, but not many.
There's at least that on a good day, Texas A&M could beat somebody.
Yeah,
On a good day, Auburn, LSU. Florida, those teams could jump up and beat somebody. In the Big 12, it's going to be Texas, Oklahoma. Oklahoma State, I think they're pretty, they'll have a good season.
Well, Iowa State jumps up and beats people. Baylor jumped up and beat a lot of people.
All those teams just jump up and beat Texas. That's the only one
they
jump
up
and beat.
Still.
But I'm talking about, is there anyone who could jump up and beat Oklahoma? besides Texas or Oklahoma State.
No.
I can't picture one.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a different kind of year, so maybe somebody can do it. But even the SEC, it's like, it's not that deep. I mean, for one thing, Georgia's going to win the East, you know that. And we'll keep thinking, oh, one day Florida's back, one day Florida's back, they're not. Tennessee, one day Tennessee's back, they're not. Basically Georgia. And then it's going to be Alabama, LSU, Auburn. It's going to win the other one. I mean, there's good teams in there. It's fun teams to watch. But it's not like there's a whole bunch of teams that you could say, oh, this could be a national championship right. team. It's like it's a pretty short list. But I'd say the Big 12 probably is more interesting than the ACC. There's going to be Clemson and what?
Notre
Virginia
Dame.
Virginia Tech, really?
Notre Dame.
Yeah, there'll be Notre Dame this year, but that's not, you know.
I mean, that's to me, that's the only other interesting team in that conference. That's the only team I can see, like, with a legitimate chance to beat Clemson. There's a lot of people saying North Carolina. I like Sam Howell, too. I like Mac Brown, but let's be serious. They ain't beating Clemson.
No, you wouldn't think. Although, it depends on Clemson had, what, 400 cases of the COVID. So.
That's true.
Who knows?
And they lost a lot of people, too. I don't think Clemson's going to be as good as they have been the last couple of years.
They still have a great quarterback and a great running back, which is a good thing to have. But they did lose some guys off that defense, some really important guys off that defense. But I also think they've built that program up to the point now where it's like Alabama. You know, you lose a bunch of draft picks, you got a bunch more waiting for a chance. And, you know, I still think they're head and shoulders above everybody in that conference.
They certainly are, but that doesn't say much.
Well, no, and that's kind of to my point. You know, you're crapping on the Big 12. The ACC has a lot less interesting teams. You know, you get Notre Dame this year, but let's say it's a normal year. You don't have Notre Dame.
Yeah, but I'm talking about this year. I'm not talking about every year. I mean, some years Baylor's good and they're interesting. TCU's good and interesting. I'm saying in this particular year, the Big 12 is the ACC. There's one or two teams that are of note, and the rest are just garbage. Right.
I thought you were talking in general.
No, I'm talking about this year in general.
Okay. Yeah, well, I don't know what they're going to be this year because we haven't seen any of them. That's part of the problem with NFL, too. It's like we're getting limited information on all these teams, and who knows what it's going to look like when they play.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But, yeah, to me, it's all fun to say, oh, well, Mac Brown, you know, he's got North Carolina going in the right direction. Yeah, but that right direction is a long way from Clemson still.
Well, yeah, and you know, winning seven games, that's nice and all, but cranking that up and
getting it to 10,
you know, being like a competing for the conference, that's a different story.
Yeah, and
it's a big jump.
And he was able to do that when he was there before, but how long ago was that? 25 years or something? Yeah. Something ridiculous. And I think I love what he did last year, but let's not pretend like they're suddenly going to be able to compete with Clemson because they played him close. I don't think they're going to play him close this year. But we'll see.
We've been wrong before, Fred.
Not in this lifetime.
No, of course not.
But yeah, have been wrong before. I'll tell you what I'm not wrong about. If you need a lawyer, call my man Lawyer Dave. And ordinarily he checks in, but you know what he's probably doing? He's probably representing a blitzer right now. Somebody who's been in a car accident, 18-wheeler accident, industrial, workplace, slip and fall, and maybe they've had a bad experience with the hospital. Well, guess what? He'll deal with that for you. And if you've been in any kind of accident, remember, the insurance company has a lawyer. Well, you need a lawyer, too. And that's why you need Lawyer Dave. And the best part about Lawyer Dave doesn't cost you a dime out of pocket. He doesn't get paid until you win. And if you're hurt and need to go to the hospital, heck, they'll even get you an Uber to go see the doctor. And you don't have to pay anything. Not until you win. It's that simple. Based here in Houston, but he practices all over the state of Texas. You can give him a call at 713-626-8900. 713-626-8900 or on Twitter at Lawyer Dave Law or LawyerDave.com. Or you can just hit me up or AJ up if you can't remember that, and we'll put you in touch with him. If you need a lawyer, you better dial Dave.
With purpose, yeah, and still it feels so accidental. Started as a friend's party, turned into a damn yeah. It was just supposed to be.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Stu the Body says college football ranking is going to be fun to watch this year. I agree. It's going to be different. Just like all this stuff's different. And I would just ask that everybody not act like it's a normal year. It's just like any of these other sports. Like, oh, well, in a normal year, it's not. So let's take the best we can get out of it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, if we do get something goofy in the playoff because of it, or if we even don't have a playoff, let's just enjoy what we got, because right now it's you know, just getting through the season is going to be, you know,
a task.
It's going to be a challenge. It is going to be a challenge. And, you know, as long as we got football, let's just roll with it while we can, because who knows when it's going to stop. And I hope it doesn't. I hope we get through a full season. And, you know, I think the NFL is trying its best too, and hopefully we'll get through an NFL season. But, you know, all this, oh, well, you know, not really fair if you don't have the Pac-12 and the Big Ten. Well, you know what?
They had their choice.
You know, screw them. Let's take what we got, man. Let's, that's too, like, really.
That's power.
Yeah. You always wait until I'm actually making a point.
That's
about
my
something.
Favorite time, because it throws you off.
And yeah, and I have no idea what the hell I was talking about. What were you even doing? College football?
Yeah,
basketball?
College. We were talking about actually collegiate wrestling.
Okay, yeah. I think the big guy from Iowa is going to win it all.
Of course. I think that it's either him or the guy from Oklahoma.
Yeah, it's always one of those two. Iowa State's okay. Nebraska. But yeah. Okay, 713-780-ESPN. Well, that was my college football stuff, so.
I wonder if, I don't know. I don't know about you, but have you been working on handicapping these early games? Are you struggling as much as I am?
I did some work on it today, and I kind of, I don't know if struggling's fair. It's just, I feel like I need to be cautious here until I actually see what it looks like. And we always talk about this. Usually early in the season, we're all feeling our way with stuff. And if you go in with a strong opinion on a team, then that's great. You want to get it before Vegas catches up. But I do kind of feel like we're all sort of groping a little bit here.
Yeah.
And I you know, it's not like I looked at any of those games and said, oh, wow, that line's out of whack. I got to play this team. But I'm going to do a little more research. But I'm kind of with you. It's not that I'm struggling with it. It's just that I'm uncertain.
I just think there's so much that – And you know, college football is always a little different anyway, because you don't get to see all the preseason games.
Right.
Usually, like, the best thing you've got, and Brad Powers was the master of this. Brad Powers watches every spring game that he can.
Yeah.
But he's going to have less to work with than normal. But normally,
some teams didn't even have time to do spring football.
And here's the other thing that kind of throws me off a little bit. I mean, some of these teams that have had, well, they've had some players have COVID. Like, it's not like professionals where they're just telling you what's going on with guys. Some of these kids are getting COVID and nobody's saying anything, and they're just quarantined, and you don't know if they're going to have a full offensive line. Like, there's just so many variables this year. I'm going to be nervous to throw out any, like, mega bets. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess in general, I would look for teams with veteran quarterbacks coming back and veteran offensive lines, because those are the ones that are hardest to pull together. And then coaches who've had teams ready to play early in the season. It just in general, if you can find that, then I think that's something to go on, but I'm still not that convinced, because this is a different thing than we've ever dealt with before.
Yeah.
So 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And you know why you're not hearing about bad Tuesday texts? Because I'm just ignoring them. They're out there.
You.
They're out there, believe me.
By the way, that reminds me, if you're a person, and I feel like we're a pretty interactive show. We like to hear from the people. But we're trying to read the social media less during the segments.
Yeah.
I know I've made a conscious effort to not switch over to Twitter or Twitch during the segment, and then I'm checking all that stuff during the break, and kind of, yeah, you know, I'll make my reaction in the next segment if warranted, or on, you know, whatever the case may be. But we're not ignoring you. It's just,
yeah,
we're just trying to we're trying to ignore you until the break. That's all.
Yeah, unless, you know, we've got a topic going that requires instant reaction, which, you know, I don't really have right now. But yeah, we're trying to, you know, mix it up a little, make sure you get your voice, but it doesn't disrupt the show. Did you see that there's going to be an Ant-Man 3?
Did not see that.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited about this. Apparently, well, Spider-Man Far From Home was the last Marvel movie we had.
Yeah, it's a long time ago.
Black Widow was supposed to be released, and of course that got pushed back, which I have zero interest in that movie. But this is the largest space between MCU films since the two-year gap between The Incredible Hulk and Iron Man 2. But they basically, there's tons of projects in the works, Eternals and Shang-Chi. But now Ant-Man 3 apparently is in the works.
All right.
Which says they say it'll be the final film in the franchise, which is interesting because Iron Man and Captain America got three solo movies, and Thor is the first character to be given a fourth, and that's probably because one of them was just so bad that it shouldn't have been aired. But,
agreed.
But Ant-Man, if you think about it, it's kind of important now. He's the guy who got him through the quantum realm and basically was as responsible as anybody for, you know, how Endgame turned out. So he's a big deal now.
Yeah.
I don't like that because I like him funny. That's what makes him.
I still I want another Doctor Strange movie. How about that?
That is in the works as well.
Panther 2 supposed to happen?
I don't know about that, which obviously right now is not going to happen with...
Will they switch out for another Black Panther?
They probably will, which...
Or will they try some terrible CGI method?
No, they won't do that. I think they'll just switch it out. But Ant-Man, which, you know, I think the thing about it was so much fun. But, oh, Sam Raimi is directing the new Doctor Strange.
Okay.
And was going to make it more of a horror-type movie, which sounds...
I'm for that.
Yeah, it sounds good. I haven't heard any updates on that, but just, you know, the guy who did the Ant-Man movie said, we're working through the pandemic. There's some really exciting things in store, none of which, of course, I can speak to you about right now.
Of course.
But I think the third Ant-Man movie is going to be a much bigger, more sprawling movie than the first two. It's going to have a very different visual template. I hope they don't spend the whole damn thing in the quantum realm. Because that's okay, but...
I hope in the movie he's the gigantic version of Ant-Man the entire time. Like, stomping around.
I just need him to be funny. That's what makes Ant-Man, to me, like the classic comic guy. He's kind of like what Spider-Man was in the comic books.
Yeah.
Where it everything's a quip, everything's a joke. And he plays that so well. And that's why Ant-Man to me was one of the more underrated, the first one was one of the more underrated Marvel movies of all of them.
I want, aren't there supposed to be movies where Deadpool's in the X-Men? With the X-Men?
There's been some rumors that he's going to pop into one of those.
Want that. And I want Spider-Man to be with the, I want him to cross over into that too.
Yeah, I wonder what happens with Spider-Man now that we know who he is. I hope they're not going to take it into the Spider-Verse crap. I thought it was okay, but I don't want to see five more movies.
No, I don't either.
Doing 20 different Spider-Men.
No, especially Spider-Pig.
Yeah.
And Spider-Gal.
Now, I mean, I thought for a cartoon it was pretty good. An animated film.
Yeah, I thought it was good too, but I don't need more of it.
Yeah, and I don't want it being taken off into a human being version of that. I don't really see the need for it. But we'll see where it goes. But at some point, we're going to have a whole bunch of Marvel movies. It's just not going to be right now. All right. Let's take a quick break. We may or may not have Jerome Solomon next. Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Already. Come on, baby.
Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. On Friday night. That's where the Leroy brothers play. And she'll be out there dancing while some stranger holds her tight.
ESPN 97.5.
Behold the king. King of Kings. On your knees, dog.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Happy Tuesday. Reminder, Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis tonight. He tweeted out his guests, so I'm sure it'll be awesome. Check it out. And you know who else is awesome? Jerome Solomon. At least that's a rumor. Follow him on Twitter, at Jerome Solomon. What's going on, buddy?
Nothing, man. I'm just chilling. Enjoying this Rockets Thunder activity.
Are you? Are you really enjoying the way these games are? Because basically it's all, you know, oh, if they lose, they got to blow everything up, and James Harden can't win in the playoffs. How many times have we had these conversations?
Well, we there's one way for us to stop having those conversations. That would be for them to not keep losing close games.
Yeah, but we got no control over that, Jerome. That's not us. That's on them.
I know. But that's part of the thing, though. They don't regularly just choke away games. I mean, people lose games, close games in the playoffs. Everybody lose. That's how most of the games are lost anyway. The Rockets don't lose any more than anybody else. Over recent years, they're way better than average. They're in the top 2, 3, 4, 5 or whatever year after year in close games and clutch game situations. But 3 in a row to this team, to this guy at this time, there's going to be extra focus on it. And it's pitiful because they should have won this series and moved on a long time ago. Now they're in a real situation where if they blow it, all hell is going to break loose. And I'm not even sure that if they win it, that all hell won't break loose when the season is finally done, because you got a lot of information in this last week and a half that if you're making decisions over there, you've got to factor that stuff in.
What's that mean, all hell's going to break loose? Like, what are we talking about potentially?
That's what I'm saying. In talking to Vertita, he's strong about beating around the bush on firing anybody, right? But he makes it clear he hadn't made the decision as yet. You know what I mean? Like, well, I don't know. Wouldn't make that decision until I see what happens in the playoffs. And what if we get in the playoffs and you go 7 games against the Lakers and it was a thriller and you lost? I'm not going to fire everybody then, right? Well, yeah. So he hadn't made a decision to fire anybody. But lose the first round to the Thunder, I can't imagine that now all of a sudden he has enough data to make those decisions. So, Mike D'Antoni, you can't legitimately bring him back with a
team.
He's
gone already,
that
right?
No matter what. Is that,
unless they get to the finals. I'd say if they get to the finals, maybe. But if
that's what I'm saying, that we don't have all the data yet. We might have it, you know, about 10:30 tomorrow night. We might have enough information for that decision to be made. And like I said, Zane might even have it now with the way his team has played in this series in the games that they lost. But, you know, I don't think it reaches up to Daryl Morey, general manager, but the guy's been there a long time. And Fertitta has to decide, hey, look, my basketball people told me this is the style of play we need to play to win. Well, this style isn't good enough, maybe. And maybe he makes that call because he gets to make that decision. You know what I mean? He gets to decide he wants to keep running like that with the small squad or make some moves, and they'll have some roster flexibility in the general sense because most of these guys' contracts are running out. So when I say a lot, there could be a lot of changes. And then there could be almost no changes if they win tomorrow night and beat the Lakers and keep on rolling. But so that's why we watch.
That's Jerome Solomon. You can hear him on the, I guess it's Texas Nation Sports Show now. Is that
Texas
official?
Sports Nation, indeed. Okay. Every Sunday night.
And Houston Sports Show on Sunday mornings here on ESPN 97.5. Got to hear a little bit of you guys while I was out and about Sunday. Do people realize that Thursday will be a week away from your Texans Chiefs opener? Are you not sensing the excitement here?
It's because as much as I hate preseason football, it at least gets you into the mode of preseason football. And as much as I hate NFL football training camp practices, it at least gets you like, okay, you know, now, because and you've been to enough of them, Fred, where you know the difference in the first week of training camp practices versus the last week. You know what
right.
I mean? That everybody knows the difference in the first preseason game versus the third one. When you're like, okay, that third preseason game, they just played that. Now I know the season's getting ready because we're not even bothered with the last one. We're getting none of that. We're getting very little video for practices. We haven't had the fans out there, and music in the crowd for the few days that they go out there when it's open. It's like they're doing football. It's secret football. So no, you can't get excited about it really because it's all being done in secret. You know they're gonna play, but you hadn't really thought about it. I mean, it's weird. It's just weird, and I think it's gonna be weird when they actually start playing. Because I don't care what anybody says, basketball and baseball look weird to me, and I don't know if I'm never going to get used to it. And hopefully, we don't have to.
Yeah, well, I do think you're going to see. Well, at least some teams are going to try fans, but it is going to be different because it's like even in Kansas City, it's going to be 17,000 fans, and that's not going to be the same atmosphere as Arrowhead on a Thursday night opener with a full stadium after a Super Bowl.
Right. Yeah. When there are people there, at least you can get some noise. And we've all been in those stadiums where it's super loud, but they're a lot louder when they're louder than you think they are even with only 20,000 fans. When Reliant will have, they get 20-25 in there when at some point you'll feel the energy, I guess. Loud might be exaggerating, but you'll feel the energy. I just, there's no energy at a baseball game. And there's when they put it on TV, I don't feel it. And basketball wise, they pump it up a little bit, and so it's a little better than baseball, I think. I mean, obviously the sports are different in how they operate anyway. But football, man, I'm just picturing it being like, you know, a bad major college team, Kansas home game when they're down 50 to nothing. that's what I'm expecting from some of these games, and I'm hoping they're not that bad, but I have low expectations.
I think you're going to be okay, and I'll tell you why. They've been focusing so much on TV production over the last few years that I don't think you're going to notice much of a difference. I don't with baseball because I have to mute those guys because they're so bad.
Yeah.
So maybe that's part of why it doesn't feel any different to me. But I think football especially is such a good TV sport that I don't think that's going to be a factor. I think you're going to be okay. But
there's an example, and again, and this was when I was driving in. I was driving somewhere. It doesn't matter. But I think it was Sunday afternoon on the station here on 97.5. There was a baseball game was on. And or maybe in the evening, maybe in the ESPN
Sunday night baseball, yeah, yeah,
the Sunday night baseball, yeah. And it's like, there's a double clearing the bases, and it sounded just like that, like I'm up here in my office, no background, no. And it was like, oh, and he's coming in, the throw to the plate, he beats the tag, not a word, you know. and I don't care what stadium it would have been, who the teams are playing. You got to throw to the plate in any game in baseball history. You get the crowd is making as much noise as it can make at that moment, right? It was horrible. I was like, what? Why am I even listening to this? It's like you're listening to some announcers practice. They're working on their craft, but there's no game actually being played. It's weird. Mm-hmm. And like I say, I know it's in my head, but. That's what my head sees and feels.
Yeah, thanks for dogging our programming, buddy.
Hey, I was listening.
I'll take it.
Go back and listen to one of those plays. It really was a throw at the plate. And I was just like, wow, there was nothing there. That's pretty bad.
You know, maybe they need Tom Brenneman doing it. Yeah,
that would liven it up. people would pay attention to every word.
Yeah, with a hot mic on the brakes. That would work. So the Astros do nothing at the trade deadline. Are you you fine with that, or do you think they should have gone out and at least gotten a reliever?
Yeah, I mean, I think they should have, you know, went out to get something, but I'm not faulting much of anything that anybody does in this right now. It's just I am willing to give people a pass for in this global pandemic has changed everything and how everything is operating. I am willing to give people a general pass. I mean, you know, I'm not gonna let the Rockets slide for choking away this thing if they choke away this first round series. But you know, the Astros not going out and going crazy, especially with the injuries they already have. You know, I'm not that bothered by it. I think they get into the postseason, they'll be able to make a run. I don't know if anything they could have done would have guaranteed anything. Well, I know it wouldn't have guaranteed anything, but I don't know what they could have done that would have made, given them so much of a better chance than they already have. You know what I mean? Had they downgraded some, I would be ripping them to shreds. So at least they didn't do that. So I'll let them slide this time.
Well, I mean, obviously, if you don't have Verlander back, they're in trouble. But do you think this team still has enough to make a run when you get to the playoffs?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think this is going to be an unconventional year. And clearly, you look at what the Dodgers are doing and stuff. You're like, you know, if you're not good, you're going to get into some trouble against those kind of teams if you were to get to the World Series. But I would not be surprised if there's a team that we know is not anywhere near the best team in the league gets to a World Series, and that team could be the Astros. But the Astros are at least near being as good as the other. You know what I mean? They're not the worst. I mean, obviously not the worst, but they're one of the three or four best teams, and they have one of the two or three best offenses. They don't have enough pitching to rank high among everybody else, but, you know, only a couple of teams do, and only one team has the kind of hitting they have and the pitching to go with it, in a sense. So, no, in a series, these guys can get hot and beat anybody, period. And we've also seen them go flat cold and lose to anybody, period, too. So I don't know how to gauge them. I would have felt like everybody a whole lot better with Gerrit Cole and Verlander at the top of the rotation, but you know, those guys didn't deliver all the time either. So depends on who delivers. I mean, I'd rather have Charlie Morton delivering than pretty much anybody.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? So they don't have that though. So who knows? Maybe a guy will step up and have one of those career couple of weeks, and that's all he ever manages to do. But that'll be good for him. If he does it for the Astros, that'll be good for them.
All right, that's Jerome Solomon. Jerome, tell them all the places where they can see your wonderful work, read your wonderful work.
Obviously, here with Game Day, OJ, Rachel, and Lauren on Sunday mornings, Sunday evenings on AT&T Sportsnet. We've got Texas Sports Nation In-Depth, and got a couple of really cool interviews that I'm working on this week. Vernon Maxwell is supposed to come in, and we're going to talk about all of the Michael Jordan stuff and get real down and dirty with his disdain for people from Utah. And that will be all people from the entire state. He is serious about that Utah hate. And then late Sunday night, 11 o'clock on Channel 2, Texas Sports Nation. Should be fun.
All right. That's Jerome Solomon. Follow him on Twitter at Jerome Solomon. Appreciate the time.
All right, gentlemen. Have a good one.
All right. Quick break. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
At ESPN 97.5, we wear Boomer Naturals masks because they have three-layer nano silver protection. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com and use promo code ESPNHouston for 20% off. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. I see Jerry Boat tweeting out some hockey plays. We're just talking about hockey on Hockey Plays on Twitch. He's got first period under 1.5. Islanders Flyers. I don't hate that. So, all right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
We go to Russia, where a woman was sleeping and with her mouth open, and she fell asleep in the yard of her home, and she woke up not feeling great. They rushed her to the hospital, placed her under a general anesthetic, and there's video of this, but a doctor has to go in there and sees that there is a snake in her throat. She has fallen asleep, and a snake has crawled down her throat. The snake was 4 feet long.
How's that even happen?
Not really sure, but they pull the thing out, and basically, I'm kind of impressed with her ability to handle a 4-foot snake.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty amazing.
I want her number.
Yeah, well, but there is video of it online if you go to Bro Bible. But she's sleeping in her yard, and the snake crawled down her throat. And apparently, they've advised citizens to not sleep outside because of the risk of snakes slithering inside their mouths.
That'll do it.
And not everybody can handle a 4-foot snake. Let's just be honest. So, yeah. But apparently, last year, a snake trainer was reportedly strangled during a performance in Dagestan. I didn't realize the Russians had such snake problems. But she survived. They got the snake out. And, you know, good on her. That's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
4-foot long snake. Let that sink in a little bit.
Yeah, it's impressive.
It's kind of sexy.
We hadn't heard that one in a while. I don't know if you saw this, and it's probably because she's doing it to set up a new show. Did you ever watch Riverdale?
I never watched.
Yeah, the wife watched it, but it was a kind of modern day Archie's thing. Well, one of the chicks in there. Excuse me, one of the ladies in there, Marissa Nichols, who's 46 years old, has been working for the FBI as an undercover agent in the fight against sex trafficking. In fact, over the last 5 years, she's participated in a half dozen child sex stings around the world. She's played the part of a parent pimping out a child, or the role of a child being pimped out to a guy who thinks he's about to have sex with a 12-year-old. So she's apparently participated in numerous child sex stings around the world over the last few years. Kind of makes sense that an actress would be good for a job like that.
Yeah. You want someone who can be convincing.
Yeah.
I play this this stupid game on my phone, like where you've got a, it's like a Candy Crush type game.
Okay.
And you're on a team, and there's like, you give each other, you give each other lives and things like that so you can keep playing if you run out of lives. And there's people who chat in there. And two of the people who chat are like, I'm 11 years old. I'm 10 years old. You just get put randomly on a team. So you,
right.
Like, you don't know anybody on this team. But my wife and I joined the same team. So we know each other, but we don't know anybody else. And one of the two people who's like 10 or 11 is always like, I'm bored. Somebody talk to me. And my wife was like, what's wrong with these kids? Like, do their parents know they're doing like it? To me, it sounds like a cop trying to get someone to talk to a kid.
Yeah.
I'm not falling for it.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that I have a lot in common with 11-year-old kids. I mean, we could have some real conversations, but I'm not getting into it.
Yeah. I don't converse with any kids whatsoever. Mine are all grown up, and I don't know any, so there's no point. But I could see where that would be I've seen enough of those TV shows where they jump in on you. That there's no way in hell I'd be doing that. 713-780-ESPN. Like that golf clash that I play, I think sometimes there's kids in there, but You can't chat. I mean, there's like emojis and stuff, or nice shot and stuff like that, but there's not a real chat. So but if somebody's like doing like emojis every 5 seconds for no reason, I just block it.
Yeah, you're out of here.
Turn it off. Yeah, but I wouldn't want an actual chat function. Sounds exactly like my 8 and 10 year old daughter on Roblox.
Yeah, you need to tell them, hey, y'all aren't allowed to chat.
But you know, they're bored and they're lonely. Guys Green said, I'm sure 11-year-old kids also hate gambling on baseball.
Yeah, that's probably true.
A couple things from Twitter to get caught up on. Jared had asked if either of you done any investing in sports cards. The prices have been crazy over the last year and a half. Lots of 30 times price increases. I've never been really that into that. I saw Vegas Dave made a killing on a Mike Trout card.
Okay.
I think he bought it for, what was it, Aaron? $900,000 and he sold it for 4.6, something like that?
Yeah.
4.4.
I thought he bought it for even less than that. I thought it was around 200,000, but I could be wrong.
I think he paid at least 400 for it, but you know, when you make that kind of a profit, good for him, I guess. Is he still with Holly Saunders?
No.
Or
no, because
where did she go?
Away from him.
Which is funny because, you know,
that's a dope.
I mean, Holly Saunders, we consider that she'd be interested in one thing with him and then left him, and now he's got more of that one thing that she wanted.
That's true.
A 4 foot snake?
4 foot snake. No, he's got locks. That's what he's got. Lock of the year. Lock of the year coming, guys. You can bet your entire bankroll on this game. Clemson money line against Wake Forest. I'm telling you, put your house on this thing, baby. I know it's minus 12,000, but whatever you got, put on it.
You know, as hot as she is, like, let's say, let me think of somebody, like an actor. Let's go Justin Timberlake. Let's say she goes and wants to hook up with Justin Timberlake. Is he not going to look at her and say, Vegas Dave? I don't think so. There's got to be something wrong here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because Justin can pick whoever he wants, male, female, or other, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, but I'm pretty sure if she's wanting to hook somebody really good now, there's going to be questions. That's all.
Yeah, he bought it for $400,000 in 2018 and turned it into almost $4 million.
That's a good deal.
That's a hell of a deal. Good for him. Yeah, it's not something that I've just never had any interest in those things. 832, how dare you? Had that actress met Pat the Stat.
Oh.
Wondering when somebody was going to drop that. Ugh. Probably so. All right, guys. You know what? Maybe you can't sell your card for that much money, but if you need to make a little money, how about this? Did you run your credit cards up during the Rona and you need to get a consolidation loan? Well, Lightstream's got you covered if you got good credit. And they can consolidate that credit card debt into one low fixed rate, and it's going to save you a bunch of money. Depending on how much you have on there, could be thousands. Their fixed rate credit card consolidation loans start at 5.95% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. That's lower than the average credit card interest rate, which is over 19%. Some of them are a lot higher than that. I'm not that great at math, but I know 5.95% significantly lower than that. You can get a loan anywhere from $5,000 to $100,000 with absolutely no fees. Applications 100% online. You can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. Lightstream believes people with good credit deserve a great interest rate and no fees, and that's exactly what they deliver. And you can save even more with an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Fred. LIGHTSTREAM.com/Fred. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Fred for more information.
You was a child. Where is your dad?
No one not regular. No one not regular. Ooh. No one not regular. No one not regular. Ooh.
ESPN 97.5.